I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen now, you motherfucker.
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name's Bart. This is Bart Cop Radio, show number 35. Little different than the other radio shows, even though no two are alike. This show is 90% beat down of the stumbling, bumbling monkey boy. He held a press conference last night. I recorded it. I chopped up the funnier parts, added a couple of comments. We're going to sprinkle in an occasional laugh or two, maybe a little Saturday Night Live, maybe a little Jon Stewart, maybe a Sopranos moment, just to, I mean, you can't do an hour beatdown. You just can't do it. So we're going to have to intersperse the beating with some moments of humor. Yeah, that's the ticket. So let's get underway. We'll check the checklist, see what we need, get started. Chinaco Anejo, a better investment than land. Okay, you already know what's going to be on the show. Let's go.
This is www.bartcop.com.
I thought it was very interesting that Charlie Dulford, who just came back, he's the head of the Iraqi Survey Group, reported some interesting findings from his recent tour there. And one of the things was he was amazed at how deceptive the Iraqis had been, deceptive at hiding things. A country that hides something is a country that is afraid of getting caught.
Wow. Can anybody believe that the stumbling bumble monkey said that? The most secretive president by a factor of 20 that America's ever had says people or countries who hide things are afraid of getting caught. Can you believe that? This is the man who, the second he left power in Texas, put everything he had under family lock and key to bury everything he did as governor. Then the second he took power in Washington, he put everything that Reagan and his father ever did under lock and key, so nobody could ever see it. And now he's trying to explain to us that the guilty hide things? Gee, George, we're all so surprised. I can't believe the stumbling bumble monkey would say that. Here's a question about the famous PDB from August 6th, 5 weeks before 9/11.
You pointed out that it did not warn of a hijacking of airplanes to crash into buildings, but
right.
that it warned of hijacking to obviously take hostages and to secure the release of extremists being held by the U.S. Did that trigger some specific actions on your part in the administration, since it dealt with potentially hundreds of lives and a blackmail attempt on the United States government?
Yeah.
Now, just for the record, the question asked was,
did that trigger some specific actions on your part?
So let's see how the stumbling bumble monkey answers.
Ed, I asked for the briefing, and the reason I did is because...
Excuse me, Mr. Monkey, but he didn't ask who ordered the briefing. He asked what actions you took.
It was also an indication, as you mentioned, that that Bin Laden might want to hijack an airplane, but as you said, not to fly into a building, but perhaps to release a person in jail. In other words, he served as a blackmail.
I wish somebody would call him on this so he would stop saying it. He keeps saying, if I had known they were going to hijack an airplane to crash into a building, I would have done something about it. But since they were only going to hijack a plane and probably blow it up because I can't get Israel to release a bunch of prisoners, then we didn't bother. I just stayed on vacation in Crawford and talked to the damn cows. If I had known he was going to crash into the buildings, yes, then I would have done something. But they didn't tell us that. They didn't give us a time and a date and a flight number and the names of the hijackers ahead of time. All they told us was there was going to be a hijacking, so we just stayed on vacation. We figured we'd deal with the hijacking. Why doesn't somebody make them stop saying that?
And, of course, that concerns me. All those reports concern me.
But, Monkey, the question was not, were you concerned? The question was, what action did you take? And since you took no action, you changed the question into a different question that you can answer. The answer to the question is no, we took no specific action, but you can't tell the truth because you've got something to hide. You've got something to cover up. So instead of answering the question, you answer the question, were you concerned, Mr. President? Well, of course I was, because I'm a concerned guy. And for the record, he never got anywhere near close to answering the damn question.
Michael.
President, why are you and the Vice President insisting on appearing together before the 9/11 Commission? And, Mr. President, who will we be handing the Iraqi government over to on June 30th?
You'll find that out soon.
Don't you love that answer? You'll find out when I do. We're going to hand it over to some son of a bitch. We don't know who. We're scouring the country looking for somebody. Please take the throne. Please take the governing reins. Please take charge. Please. Boom. Oh, sorry, dude. How about you? Please take the reins. Please take the governing. Boom. Oh, how about you? Please take over. Whoever takes over is going to be dead by the end of the day. Please. This crazy man's insisting on turning over a conquered country that's in the middle of a civil war to whoever. It's like musical effing chairs. Whoever is standing up on midnight of June 30th, you are the president of Iraq now, dude. Well, actually, you're the Bumble Monkey's personal tool. But congratulations. You just got... Boom! Sorry, dude.
And secondly, because the 9/11 Commission wants to ask us questions. That's why we're meeting, and I look forward to meeting with them and answering their questions.
Why you're appearing together rather than separately, which was their request?
Because it's a good chance for both of us to answer questions that the 9/11 Commission is looking forward to asking us, and I'm looking forward to answering them. Let's see.
Another dodge by a guilty man who can't answer a simple question. The question was, why are you appearing together? And his answer was, to answer questions. And we look forward to that. And he says, no, excuse me, why together against the wishes of the 9/11 Commission? He says, to answer questions. I look forward to it. Next. And they just take it. Why the hell didn't that next reporter say, excuse me, Mr. President, but that question that was just asked, can we get an answer why? But they're afraid. They were never afraid to ask Clinton a question. They were never afraid to ask Poppy a question. They were never afraid to ask Reagan a question. But no, they're afraid of this monkey. Wonder why. Why are you insisting on holding hands with Dick Cheney when they ask you these life and death questions? Because we're looking forward to answering them. Liar.
You have been accused of letting the 9/11 threat mature too far, but not letting the Iraq threat mature far enough. Could you respond to that general criticism?
Yeah. I guess there have been some that said, well, we should have taken preemptive action in Afghanistan, and then turned around and said we shouldn't have taken preemptive action in Iraq.
You know, I think I like him better when he's lying. On this question, he seems to truly not understand that there's a difference between the two countries. Al-Qaeda did all their planning, apparently, in Afghanistan, and even after 9/11, they held Osama. They were holding that crazy bastard, and Bush said, you better let us have him, and they said, no, let's talk, and let's negotiate, and this and that. And so they end up letting Bin Laden go free. So, yes, Afghanistan's going to be punished. The government is going to fall. Everybody in the world understood that. Everybody in the world was behind us, except for the extra crazy Muslims. Germany, England, France, Italy, Russia, Japan, Australia, everybody was behind this going into Afghanistan. And then once we had Osama cornered, the monkey said, well, why don't we steal some oil too? And he just can't get his mind around the thought that, oh, some people, they say we did this and then they turn around and say that. Well, these aren't twins. Afghanistan needed to be punished, everyone agrees. Iraq was minding their own damn business, and you decided to go in on your own initiative. You said, if the world's not going to help us, we'll go it alone. You just didn't care. The whole world begged you not to murder Iraq, and you said, I'm going to do it with or without you. F him. Saddam's getting taken out. Some of the greatest diplomatic language ever. F him. We're taking him out. Why can't the little Bush boy understand that if the guy on your left steps on your toe, you don't smack the guy on your right? He seems to be incapable of picking up that idea.
And my answer to that question is that, again, I repeat what I said earlier. Prior to 9/11, the country really wasn't on a war footing. And the frankly mood of the world would have been astounded.
Huh? The frankly mood of the world? Did he really say that? Can his mouth be that disconnected from his brain? The frankly mood of the world would be astounded?
Had the United States acted unilaterally in trying to deal with Al-Qaeda in that part of the world. It would have been awfully hard to do as well, by the way. We would have had, we hadn't got our relationship right with Pakistan yet. The Caucasus area would have been very difficult from which to base. It just seemed an impractical strategy at the time, and frankly, I didn't contemplate it.
Frankly, you didn't contemplate it? Governor Bush, I think the things that you didn't contemplate would not fit on the internet. You monkey. You bumbling stumble monkey.
Libya, for example. Libya was a nation that had we viewed as a terrorist, a nation that sponsored terror. And Colonel Gaddafi made the decision, and rightly so, to disclose and disarm. By the way, they found, I think, 50 tons of mustard gas, I believe it was, in a turkey farm.
50 tons of mustard gas at the Libyan turkey farm. You know, there's nothing that turkeys like more than eating sand. That's why there's so much traditional turkey eating in the Muslim world, because the turkeys and the sand, they just go together, well, like mustard and turkey. Throw in a wrap and you got a low-carb weapon of mass destruction. Turkey and mustard. Hey, monkey, did you get that from the CIA? Did George Tenet vet that for you? Or is this like that yellow cake? Wait, yellow cake, turkey and mustard. It all fits. This is so stupid. 50 tons. 50 tons of mustard gas on a Libyan turkey farm. Make him stop.
The road is fucking hard. The road is fucking tough. It is rougher stuff. It's fucking road, my friend, but it's the only road I know. When I'm lunching on a tasty fish right after the show. You gotta go, go, go!
Bark Chop is easier than getting the Ebola virus.